WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively celebrating the post-holiday spirit around here. I've got my I'm a Blunt Person shirt on. We're going to be doing some greatest hits, but for now, we're going to talk some football and a big Raven victory over the 49ers. We're going to be giving away Raven scratch-offs down at Fadley's on the 27th. That's Wednesday. If you hear some conversations here from at any point during the year, very, very proud of all of our work here at Baltimore Positive and all the conversations we've had all year long, including our intimate football conversations. Luke, Dennis isn't around this week, but this is a quote NBA day. This is a Greek dessert. I want to plug Yaya's Bakery over on Route 7, right by where I used to live, over by Essex Community College off King Avenue. And I've got some delicious – I'm not Greek, even though Nestor's a Greek name and was a Greek god of wisdom. And you can have it that all day long here on a holiday week as the year ends as to my wisdom. But I am wise enough to know – to get myself to Wise Market and do my ham. I got my rewards ham last week, and I'm wise enough to get to Royal Farms and get a little bit of coffee in my cup. I have this really cool Dundalk throwback cup with like two guys. That's the Roll Arena. That's where I used to chase girls back in the 80s, listening to Eagles songs and whatnot. So I have a fun holiday mug, a Dundalk mug. I've got Greek cookies. I've also got some chocolate chippers from Woodley as well, but man, tis the season to be jolly. And when the Ravens can play like that on Christmas night for everybody, wherever you are watching the game, whatever your state of ham, turkey, roast beast, veggies, whatever you were having, crab cakes, eggnog, friends, family. Yeah, 8 o'clock on a Christmas night. And, you know, I would have been out in Santa Clara had I had a press credential because I covered the team. But watching it on TV, watching the holiday, watching all-day football, then all-day football, then all-day more football. So 23rd, 24th, 25th, watching Flacco, watching all these other teams, and having the anticipation for the game of the year and have it go as well as it went. I saw the spreads after the game, Luke, in regard to Purdy for MVP versus Lamar before the game and then after the game, betting on it. And now you like the Ravens to win the Super Bowl? Yeah, go up to Hollywood Casino. So does everybody else. So now all of a sudden, the Ravens are the hunted. There's no doubt about that. There's an anticipation that they should and will beat Miami at 1 o'clock, on Sunday, because they just went out to San Francisco. How can they lose to Miami? You know, I mean, and then they're going to be expected to win the Super Bowl. And dude, I've been doing this a long time. We've had 25 years. And by the way, we're celebrating all of our 25 Stories of Glory. I'm releasing all of them, and we're counting down to number one, which will be Radio Row week and Super Bowl week. And just as an aside, you can let Chad know, and I'll let John and Eric know that, yeah, if they make the Super Bowl, I'm planning a different kind of Radio Row here for a great cause that week. So we have big, big plans for Radio Row here this week. But we are fully expecting the Baltimore Ravens to be participating, right? Like, for the first time, maybe in 19, we felt this way, Luke, and I've known you a long time. Maybe you really felt that Christmas week when they're steamrolling teams, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. It's certainly hard to dispute that as the year ends and we get ready for New Year's and Miami comes in this week, that you really start thinking, like, where am I going to be Super Bowl week? And I know where I'm going to be, and I'm going to be telling everybody where we're going to be.
I mean, I think that third quarter on Monday night, I think everyone's looking at their calendar, double checking when the Super Bowl is going to be. And look, we're going to throw out all the different things that you throw out, because it is the NFL and it's a week to week league, and the Miami Dolphins can come in and beat the Ravens, and we're having a much different conversation a week from now. But in terms of how they've looked, how they looked Monday night, how they've looked really since early October, I mean, they've lost one game since the Orioles were still playing playoff baseball, albeit briefly, against the Texas Rangers. They've lost one game since then. I mean, that's what we're talking about. That Steelers loss came the weekend of the division series starting. I mean, that's where we are at this point. That was a long time ago. You know, we're going to be talking about spring training in about 6 weeks. I mean,
all they do is win, no matter what.
So yeah, the expectation should be that. And I'm not going to look, fans get all hot and bothered about this. Oh, you're looking ahead. I don't play for the team. We don't play, so we can look ahead and we can look.
Oh, I've worn the purple bird head, and that wasn't good enough. I've been a fan. I've been a reporter. I've been a critic. I'm still a critic of Sashi Brown and them getting $480 million of state-run money for a stadium that they've banned me and on Christmas light wouldn't let me in, but would have let you in had you decided to leave your family and go out to Santa Clara. So I've reported on all of this from the very beginning, and I've seen the purple cities pop up here 20 years ago when everybody had a tent and everybody had to have a Festivus shirt and we hosted shows and Trent Dilfer came out. There's not much of that. They don't get out much these days and they got focus on their games and whatnot, but there should be that kind of excitement. Whatever your excitement level was, if you're a fan, and there were $3 tickets 10 days ago. I'm going to continue to point that out. And the Dolphins are playing this week, and whether the weather's good or bad, I saw empty seats in Kansas City. And look, dude, it was Christmas Day, right? So I don't know. Like, this league doesn't care about your religion. It cares about your wallet. It has one religion. Money is the league's religion. And playing Christmas Eve night and expecting people to show up, half of Philadelphia, like it's a holiday. Like I don't know what point it usurped that, and the NBA plays all day and whatever. But I have never spent a Christmas and gone to bed on a Christmas night more sort of assured that they're going to a Super Bowl than now. That's 06, that's 19. A couple of years they've had really, really good teams, but they haven't signature beaten down the best team in the league, yelling Mike Florio's name, for what that's worth. I don't know that they've ever been the betting favorite in this way, that the way they're about to be. And the reason for that is even when they were good, Tom Brady was still there and Ben Roethlisberger. Like, you start to look down the roster now and the way the Chiefs played over the weekend, and I know we'll make a Bills case, and maybe the Bills will be the big bad wolf in the end. I don't know. But the Ravens are the best team, and they've proven it week after week after week. Even when they've lost, they've given games away. They feel incapable of laying the kind of turd the 49ers laid or the kind of turd that the Seahawks or the Lions laid against the Ravens. I mean, just beat downs. The Ravens have beaten down these NFC teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are always going to be potential pitfalls. And this is how it was at the end of 2019. And anyone who says otherwise, we're just trying to change how it played out because it's disappointing that they lost to Tennessee. I mean, they were the best team in the NFL. They were the favorite. We were talking about them in the same exact terms. And it's not a knock on this year or 2019. It's just where it was, that they were that team. And you made the comparison to, go back to the 2006 Ravens. Now they weren't the number one seed, but they were the number two seed. First time they had ever had a bye in franchise history. So yeah, there were some high expectations there. Whereas 2012, at this point we were still talking about Jim Caldwell replacing Cam Cameron.
Remember planking? Remember planking?
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
I was, in fact, I was even making that mention to my brother-in-law, but because the Eagles made a, not a complete defensive coordinator change, but obviously they made a change. And I said, well, the Ravens made a coordinator change late in mid-December, and look how that turned out for them over a decade ago.
And the
But
Bills as well, by the way, this year.
yeah. And just to finish my thought there, I mean, the 2000 Ravens, there was this confidence and excitement because they were going to the playoffs for the first time, and we all knew that this was a pretty historic, great defense. But because they had never even been to the dance, I don't know if anyone was full-blown expecting them to win the Super Bowl until the Tennessee game. Then I think everything changed. When Ray takes the ball away from Eddie George, Anthony Mitchell returns the blocked field
Kevin
goal.
Eck and I were together in the 30-yard line on the roof, jumping up and down. And I'm like, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, like, as Ray Lewis was carrying the ball to the end zone and as Anthony Mitchell, like, in that game, you felt it in that moment. In the same way that my wife and I were 4 feet from Ozzie and Eric freezing our asses off when the ball went up in the air and I saw Jacoby Jones running under it. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to catch it. You have those moments. I don't feel like that moment happens against the San Francisco 49ers when Brock Purdy throws his fourth pick, or whatever. But there is a feeling of if they get to the Super Bowl, and it might be the Eagles, it might be the Lions, it might be the 49ers. I mean, I don't know who else it could be, on the NFC side, right? You're going to have this, well, the Ravens are going to be a 7-point favorite. If the Ravens get to the Super Bowl and the 49ers get to the Super Bowl 5 weeks from now, the Ravens will be, they were a 6.5-point favorite at game time. Like, that thing went from 4 to 6.5. Mike Florio wasn't the only one dissing the Ravens. Everybody in America was betting against them. And the more points you gave them, the more they bet on San Francisco. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, but everything you just laid out there, I mean, where this team is right now, as I said in our previous conversation, I mean, it's the Super Bowl is the expectation now. It just is. And that's a good thing. That's a compliment to them. You know, this isn't a case of, well, you know, if the breaks go their way. And by the way, that still applies. To win a Super Bowl, you're still going to have some good fortune along the way. A ball bounces the right way. I mean, you mentioned Jacoby Jones. I mentioned Anthony Mitchell on a blocked field goal. You know, that gave them the lead in Nashville in the 2000 postseason. I mean, you have those plays along the way. I mean, 2000, Shannon Sharp against the Broncos with the ball batted up in the air. I mean, all that still applies. And when you're the Super Bowl favorite, that doesn't mean that it's 100% or even that it's 80% or even that it's 60%. You know, it's still.
Yeah, but the Patriots made good on that every year, right? Like, and the Colts never did. Right. And the Eagles back in the Buddy Ryan era, you know, like there have been teams. And Lamar better make sure he's not that guy. I mean, the Bills are still, you know, 40 years later, still trying to figure it out, how to win it and getting there and losing and the awfulness of all that. They can talk to Jared Goff about that and Matt Ryan about that. And all of these guys who Cam Newton, who got, you know, couldn't even fall on the football, didn't even fight for the football in a Super Bowl and has to live with that. Right. Because his career's, I mean, like, it happens quick, and to your point, if you're helping me write my column this week, Luke, thank you very much for that. Just, yeah, you better do it. You better do it, and that would also be the case of you were pretty snippy about the Orioles were in the playoffs for like a minute, and we remembered, and then they're like, did they make the playoffs? They won a lot of games, they had a hell of a year, and it's been 8 weeks, and we don't talk about it. Because, you know, it's just, you can't bring it up. Like, bringing up that San Diego loss or that Tennessee loss, like, I know you're Mr. Nerd, you played it out in your mind. When it comes on NFL Network, you might watch it again or whatever. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Like, I haven't thought much about those games at all, but we're going to be thinking about those games in 2 weeks. And so's Lamar, and so's Marlon Humphrey, and so's Ronnie, so's everybody who was in the locker room when it didn't go well after those games.
Yeah. And what's crazy is you go back and look at the roster construction. I mean, there aren't all that many guys left, even from the 2019 team. It's like, as far as guys that are active right now. So, you know, okay, Tucker. You have Mark Andrews, you have Tyus Bowser, guys that aren't active right now, but it's about 10, what is it? 10 or 11 guys. I mean, it's not many, you know, for only being 4 years. I mean, we say it all the time, not for long NFL. Right. So, but yeah, the expectations are there and they should be. And, you know, what you said about Lamar, I mean, look, that's every quarterback in the league, not named Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford, or I guess now we throw Joe Flacco into that conversation because of what the Browns are doing. But this is looking like, and let's be clear, this is by no means their last chance or anything like that. I mean, that would be silly, crazy talk. But when you are talking about some of the free agents they have, knowing the reality of having a quarterback with an AAV of $52 million, same thing for any team that has a quarterback in that bracket. When you have other, you know, when you have, like I said, free agents and other positions that, you know, look at the offensive tackle position, for example, Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses, another year older, where are they going to be? You know, you have all these different things that you can point to and say, this feels like the year that is going to be not their last best chance, but maybe their optimal chance for, you know, the next 2 or 3 years, let's say. And I don't know. I mean, if they draft a couple more Kyle Hamiltons, then yeah, no, it won't matter, you know, because they'll replace whoever leaves as a free agent. And be, you know, so there's always that, you know, you can always continue things. I mean, look at the Rams, how they built their roster in a much different way than the Ravens do things. I mean, they did the all-in thing, and now Matthew Stafford's much more in the November of his career than a Lamar Jackson, but they've drafted well, and you know, they made some savvy moves here and there, and they're back to being a playoff contender again. So there are lots of different ways to do it. Point is, so much is sitting there for this team to go do this now. And 2019, okay, they were less experienced. Lamar Jackson was, you know, he was 22 years old, you know, that January. I mean, you know, you're talking about, I mean, that was incredible to think how young some of those guys are, and you know what they've kind of had to go through the last 4 years to get back to this same point where they can clinch a number one seed and have the first round bye and be in a position where they can play an AFC championship game in Baltimore for the first time in 50 years, you know, 50 plus years, you'd be talking, since the Colts last hosted
an AFC
championship.
I mean, how do you brought that up? I mean, how do we get 20 right. minutes into this and we're talking about we've never played an AFC championship game here, really never even had the threat other than in the second half of, you know, not beating a Tennessee, right? I mean, right. like, so – I would look at this and say all of this opportunity for it to be the greatest January in the history of the franchise. And that's it's getting heavy now. That starts to get heavy, especially if they beat Miami. I mean, it's heavy already because they got to go play Miami on short rest this week. And this isn't going to – I mean, we'll come back in a little bit after, you know, I get through the cookies and all that, right, and get on my next cup of Rofo coffee here that will – Miami's real too. And these AFC teams – I'm not worried about getting to the Super Bowl in Vegas and who's going to be there. I pointed that out. You better be worried about Josh Allen or Joe Flacco or Patrick Mahomes or whatever these two games you're going to have to win if you beat Miami. You beat Miami, you got to win two games, you're in the Super Bowl. You lose to Miami, things get a little crazier because the Steelers start lathering up and, you know, here we go. You got to then you got to go win another game and injuries, things happen throughout all of that.
You just said it, things happen. You know, there's always the caveat, but what if this happens or what if that happens? That always applies. I don't care who it is. I don't care if we're talking about the best team in the league or the best team in the conference or the team that's going to be the number seven seed. Although, you know, I look at Indianapolis right now, I say they don't feel like much of a threat, if I'm being perfectly honest, right? No one in the AFC South.
You better not lose a playoff game to them.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, like, well, sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking something like that, then boy, we're having a different conversation come mid-January.
If somehow they beat the Browns and you get them or something, come on, you know?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, look, I said it in a previous conversation. I've said this for a while now. I'm still not sold on Miami as a serious Super Bowl contender. I'm just not. Because
then this Sunday should be a cakewalk then, right? Because there's no way you wouldn't lose to them if they're not serious.
Well,
right?
But nothing's a cakewalk, right? I mean, you have to go out and do it, right? And look, they have players, they have talent. I think where if you're the Ravens, where you do take some optimism here is Mike McDaniel's coming. He's from the same tree of the Shanahan offense. You know, he's a branch from that. And you look at how well they did against Brock Purdy. Tua Tagovailoa, who is not the same exact quarterback, but is also an anticipation quarterback, right? You know, kind of anticipates making a throw, ball coming out quick. You know, not all predetermined. Again, that would be too simplistic, but a lot of times an idea of where it's going. And the Ravens, we saw how they handled that against San Francisco. So that's where you, despite the fact that you're talking about Tyreek Hill and a team that runs the ball really well, you're still talking about an offense that the Ravens did very well against, but it's the next challenge, right? It is. And I think it was Aaron Schatz made this point late Monday night, actually making the point of not talking about winning the Super Bowl here, but in terms of getting there, kind of made the point of that the 49ers might still have the best odds from the standpoint of which gauntlet do you consider to be more difficult, the NFC or the AFC? Now, you know, it's not as though, you know, the NFC still has Detroit. You know, there's still Philadelphia, although the Eagles did not look very impressive on Monday, and they're still searching for the best version of themselves, if that even exists at this point relative to last year. You know, the Cowboys, you know, they can't win on the road. I mean, it's just that simple for them. But you look at that compared to the Ravens with, I think the Ravens are the best team. You know, I'm confident. I have a lot of resolve in saying that. The Ravens are the best team in the NFL, but certainly the best team in the AFC. However, you do have Miami. You do still have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, who have three weeks to try to figure this thing out because they were a disaster on Monday. Just awful offensively. I mean, what was that? But it's still Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And unlike any other team in this AFC field, they've done it. You know, they know what it takes to do that in January. So from that standpoint, they're still a team to be reckoned with. But Cleveland with their defense, and you know, Joe Flacco is playing the best football that he's played since leaving the Ravens. I mean, that's pretty clear. But for me, the team that I really point to, and, you know, I was talking about this 5 weeks ago with the Bills. And for me, the big question then was, is the math going to add up? Because they did have a challenging schedule. They had given away too many games early in the season, and that's where you kind of looked at them and said, are they going to get in? Well, it's sure looking like, you know, they're going to get in. So now it is a case of Josh Allen, who I think is playing at a very high level, and a team that's been better defensively than they were midway through the season. And to your point, you made the mention of the change at offensive coordinator. They found a running game, and you know, James Cook has really been an X factor for them. So of all the teams in this AFC playoff field, acknowledging Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs have the experience, you know, they have the experience factor where they've done it. So, you know, they're the new Patriots, right? But beyond that acknowledgement, Buffalo is the team I look to right now and say, of all these teams coming into Baltimore that I think pose the biggest threat, it's probably them. Now, all these teams are all saying, wow, we got to beat the Ravens in Baltimore. Yeah, that's the conversation they're having right now. So it speaks to where the Ravens are in terms of not just being the number one seed, but how they've looked, how they've played over the course of the full season. Three losses that all could have been wins with one or two plays being made that weren't. So, yeah, I mean, this sets up for them to do everything you dream of doing back in March and April. And certainly when you're going through, I almost said two-a-days don't exist, but when you're going through training camp in late July and August, this is what you're dreaming about, to be in this position. And they've got to go out Sunday and take care of business. And I'll throw this out there. The Ravens have handled, and I want to say this with the caveat that the Ravens have handled these scenarios throughout the year very well. But a Monday night road game out on the West Coast, long flight, you're getting back Tuesday morning, trying to get some rest, but it's a quick turnaround. And we haven't even mentioned this because, you know, with the holiday, but this game didn't get flexed to 4:25 or 8 o'clock as some people were thinking it might. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. So it is a quick turnaround. And Miami played at home this past Sunday on, you know, on Sunday, regular week for them. So not saying that, you know, I'm picking the Ravens. Spoiler alert, I'm not even going to leave drama, but those are some factors that you have to consider that, you know, it is a quick turnaround. So there is a little more of a challenge for the Ravens, and especially with some of the guys that got banged up on Monday night. So very critical for John Harbaugh and this coaching staff to kind of balance getting these guys enough rest as far as getting them fresh and back to being ready to play come Sunday, you know, with a quicker turnaround. And at the same time, acknowledging that even if you're not the biggest believer in the Dolphins, which I'm not just yet, they're a playoff team. You know, I'm not being dismissive that they're not good, but in terms of them being, you know, potentially the number one seed, you know, I'm still not entirely sold on them. Well, they've got their chance, just like the Ravens did against the 49ers on Monday night. They have their chance to go out and prove it. And certainly the Ravens need to be ready because that team, I'll say this, even if I'm not the biggest believer overall in them long term, as far as a Super Bowl, you know, serious Super Bowl contender, they still have a lot of talent. So, I mean, Tyreek Hill, best wide receiver in football. I mean, you better be ready. You know, that defense is going to have to be ready for a challenge, just like they were absolutely ready for it on Monday night against the 49ers.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be in Owings Mills as long as they allow him this week as we welcome in 2024 and playoffs and a Festivus for the rest of us. And obviously the Miami Dolphins coming in here this week as well. We're going to be at Fadley's doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have my purple O snaps out. Tis the season for all of that. Some leftover eggnog. I got cookies to eat here. I got cookies in my teeth right now and some Royal Farms coffee in my cup. We're heading into the new year with big, big plans for Radio Row Week. No matter where the Ravens are going to be, we're going to be doing something that's going to be probably the coolest thing we've done here. We're celebrating 25 years of WNST and Baltimore Positive with our Stories of Glory. The countdown has begun. I hope y'all are enjoying that. If anybody has old pictures, old videos, please email me. I would love to get copies of stuff that I don't have. Still looking for that Deion Sanders tape. I'm going to find it, Luke. I swear, Deion came. There's pictures. There's evidence. There's an interview somewhere in there. You know how testy I get after 32 years when I can't find an archival piece of history? It drives me crazy, but I have most of it. Some of it you'll hear this week. This week will be some best of, but more modern stuff from this year in the Crab Cake Tour. You know, at some point I'll throw some of the old stuff out. But Radio Row Week's going to be legendary, and we can only hope that the Ravens continue to do their part in the lift to get to Las Vegas. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We'll continue on with more Christmas holiday spirit and more of my blunt conversations. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.